This is the Stinking Truth.
The one of the other big matchups, and I know I ask you to pick a winner for San Francisco and the Chiefs, but I have a feeling this game may show up in one of our moneymaker picks. So we'll have a chance to talk about that a little bit later on. Other big matchup, Detroit and Minnesota. And Mark, do I have to stop every week trying to look for reasons why Minnesota can't last, why this can't last? Do people like myself need to accept the fact Vikings ain't going nowhere?
Yeah. You know, it's funny, Mike, because you and I had this conversation and I was, you know, stomping my foot, standing on the table for Sam Darnold and saying that the Broncos should sign Sam Darnold and saying that Sam Darnold was going to have a breakout season. And, you know, and what I learned the last couple of games of last year, calling San Francisco games, talking to Sam Darnold, I spent 20 minutes on the field talking to Sam Darnold twice, not once, but twice. One in a meeting, you know, last game of the season when he was going to start, I sat down in a meeting with him for 20, 30 minutes. And then obviously on the field, both of those games. So I spent about an hour talking to Sam Darnold and just kind of picking his brain about kind of what he learned and the progressions that he went through and what he learned early in his career versus, you know, being kind of that rehab situation for his quarterback rehab with San Francisco and with Kyle Shanahan. And I'm telling you, man, it was amazing to listen to a guy. And you love a guy that can look at himself critically and say, man, I knew nothing. Like, I knew nothing about football until I got with Kyle Shanahan. And then having opportunities to bet on yourself, right? Having opportunities to say, hey, man, this is the direction I'm going in. And I could go somewhere else and get more money, but I'd rather go somewhere where I think I'm going to learn something so that at least I can hopefully salvage my career, which at this point is a disappointment. And all those things are true about Sam Darnold. One of the things I loved about him, but I will tell you, Brian Flores, I think right now they're the number one team in football at presenting six-man fronts. Like, so they bring a bunch of six-man fronts. I think they're the number two team in football as far as blitz is concerned. And, you know, that's blitz. It's like blitz or disguise, you know, sometimes motion and offense. Like, I can give you all these different things that are great when they work, right? Yeah. Like, disguise is awesome until it's not. Like, blitz is great until it's not. Like, motions and shifts are great until you keep getting, you know, illegal procedure penalties, right? Mm-hmm. And they put you at first and 15 or second and 15. Like, they're great until they're not. And if you're a good football team, and, you know, we used to say this when I was in Washington all the time when I became a member of the Hogs, you know, and we were going in 1991, we just, I mean, kicked everybody's ass in the league. And we used to say it all the time, like, we beg them to blitz us. Please, for the love of Pete, blitz us, because we're going to eviscerate your ass in the blitz. Because we know what we're doing. We're going to pick the blitz up, and then we're going to render it, you know, useless. And we got a bunch of one-on-ones with Art Monk and Gary Clark and Ricky Sanders and all these guys, you know. And I look at Detroit in this game, because Minnesota ain't going to change who they are. Brian Flores ain't going to change who he is, man. They're going to give you a bunch of really tough looks right off the bat. They're going to line up all over the place. They're going to walk up linebackers, walk up safeties. They're going to do a lot of different things. They're going to have a safety on the edge of the ball that's going to be a deep middle field defender, you know. They're going to do things that, you know, look unsound, but they're very sound, principled defense, because they know exactly when they have to get where they have to get. But I will tell you, if you can pick that stuff up, Mike, I'm sorry, if you pick that stuff up, and I believe Detroit has one of the best, if not the best, offensive line in the game. They've got two outstanding running backs. They've got a young tight end who can really play, you know, in Laporta. They've got another tight end who can block people and can knock people around. They've got a couple of wide receivers. Jameis Williams. Is like, that dude can fly, he can block, he can do all that stuff. Amon-Ra St. Brown is as good as it gets. You and I are both very familiar with Tim Patrick. Timmy Pats has come back after back-to-back years where he missed with an ACL and Achilles tendon, and he's contributing. It's fun to watch. Mike, I personally feel like Detroit's going to beat Minnesota by 10 points.
Ooh.
And if they don't beat them by double digits, you know what? I'm going to have to go back and look at Minnesota again and go, okay, like it's real. It is. And I think it's real, Mike. I really do think it's real. I think they're a really good football team. I think Detroit's the best team in the National Football League. That's how I feel about Detroit right now. I just feel they're great. Now, the one big issue, Aiden Hutchinson.
Yep.
And you're going to sit here for the next 3 weeks and you're going to figure this out. They right now, because their offense is so good, they get more opportunities to rush the passer than anybody, just about anybody. They're second in the league as far as rush opportunities. 70% of the time, teams are passing against them because their offense is good. You limit possessions. You know, you control the time, the tempo, the clock. You run the ball. You convert. You score points. You're getting an opportunity to rush the passer. But do they have a difference maker now that Aiden Hutchinson is down? And the answer is no. And so it'll be interesting to see, you know, if now that Cleveland is getting rid of players, they got rid of Amari Cooper, is Myles Garrett, would they be willing to part ways with Myles Garrett? Would you know, the Cincinnati Bengals be willing to part ways with Trey Hendrickson, who's a really, really good football player off the edge? The Raiders, would they be willing to go Max Crosby? Like Detroit, I do believe Detroit is the best team, but I do believe to stay on top or at least to win a championship, I really think they need a replacement for Aiden Hutchinson.
Again, this is a game I won't ask for a pick yet because I have a feeling it'll show up a little bit later on. Houston and Green Bay. This one's a really interesting matchup because of the young quarterbacks. And so let me pose this question to you. You're starting a team today, and you have your choice of which quarterback to build around, C.J. Stroud or Jordan Love. Who is it?
It is such a good question. I don't know that there's a wrong answer. Like, two guys are similar, right? I think more similarities than differences, if you will. And, you know, both have great leadership qualities, although C.J. Stroud had to start right away with his leadership qualities because he started from day one, right? And he grew through, you know, mini camps and through training camp. And, you know, when you sit down with him and you talk to him, he's one of those guys that just is like, he's just got some maturity, some old soul to him. He is just one of those kids that you're just like, wow, like I didn't have any of this at, you know, 23 that he has right now. Like, he's got that about him, and he holds everybody accountable and he holds himself accountable. And I just think he's a great teammate, and he's an exceptional player, exceptional. And he's, you know, he's got weapons. He's got a, you know, really good team around him. Jordan Love, like, if you made me pick right now, Jordan Love, a couple years older, you know, sat behind Aaron Rodgers for a long time and really learned how to play, really took what Aaron had told him to heart. Like, man, you got to practice harder. You got to really work on your practice kind of process. And like, when you play against our defense, your job is to go out there and eviscerate our defense. Like, that's how you're going to grow in confidence, and that's how you grow in, hey man, I can make an off platform throw, I can, you know, I can throw it from here, there, everywhere, like I can scramble around and hit the guy that's in stride and all that stuff. And so really taking that part of his craft seriously, I think, gave the Packers confidence that they can move on from Aaron and that they were going to be okay with Jordan Love. I think from a dynamic, athletic nature, Mike, I would take Jordan Love. Like, I think they're both that have mental maturity, right. Both have physical maturity, both can lead their teams, both have accuracy and ability. I just think that when it comes to, you know, the 30% of the time when things break down, I think Jordan Love has more athleticism, and I would probably, like, all those other things being equal or pretty close to equal, I think that I would probably pick Jordan Love over CJ. But boy, I tell you what, 6-1 half dozen. How about you? Where would you go?
I think I would go with Jordan Love as well. Just for some of those same reasons. And but I will tell you this, you know, it's a fascinating, because you've got CJ Stroud who started right away. You have Jordan Love who got to sit for a little while. It's that classic NFL debate. What's the best way to bring along a young quarterback? Throw him out there, sink or swim, or bring him along slowly, maybe not even play for a year. Have you settled yet on one way that's better than the other in your mind?
No. You know, I mean, I think it depends on the guy.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to be usually, you know, CJ Stroud is the outlier. Usually there's going to be some really hard lessons to learn. You know, it's like Peyton Manning, you know, threw 28 interceptions his rookie year. It went 3-13. It's still a record. You know, it's still a record that he's hoping that somebody beats, right? Somebody throw more interceptions than me, please.
No rookie quarterback, by the way, would be allowed to throw that many picks anymore.
Right.
They would be so scared of throwing that many, they'd never let it get to that.
Right. It's just a different mentality. And you know, are guys more mentally fragile? Like, you gotta be made of stern stuff to throw 28 picks and have a lack of success that he had and still have the confidence to throw it. You know, some guys, that'll just ruin them. And so I think it depends on each individual guy and, you know, how much experience he has coming out, how confident he is, like all those things matter. So it's all the intangible stuff that I think ends up, you know, really kind of really messing with you, if you will, or really determining whether you can handle that starting right off the bat or whether it's better to sit for a while and learn from a veteran, all those kind of things. Yeah, back in my day, it was always sit a guy. I remember Carson Palmer sat his first year as a first-round draft choice to John Kitna, right? Like, that stuff is what used to go down. It doesn't go down that way anymore. But, you know, sometimes I think that's very valuable to sit and watch how it's good, to sit and watch how you become a professional. But then there are guys like CJ Stroud that are just ready for that challenge and are ready to lead their team right off the bat.